You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Now, a couple of weeks ago, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, a little over that, the team at Eskom had approached the courts to potentially halt the approvals of licenses that NERSA had granted to alternative electricity traders. Since then, we have seen a couple more licenses being granted. However, these licenses don't appear to have been challenged as yet. We're going to be taking a look at this and trying to make sense of this with the managing director at EE Business Intelligence, Chris Yelland. He joins me on the line now to see if we can try and understand what's going on here. Chris, always lovely having you on the show. Thanks so much for taking the time. From an outsider's perspective, one can't help but wonder whether or not there is a selective approach being used here. And I know you've penned quite an interesting piece around this, analyzing just what challenges Eskom has put forward in terms of challenging license approvals. But do we sort of see a pattern emerging here?
Well, the pattern we see emerging, since the first trader was licensed in about 2011, through to where we are now, today, 2025, is a pattern of an unexplained pattern of inconsistency by Eskom. The first five traders that were licensed commenced trading and have been trading for several years, and there has been no legal challenges, no objections, no problems. It's been business as usual. Suddenly, five quite powerful companies applied for trading license, and out of the blue, Eskom opposes these in public hearings. And when they get overruled by the regulator, they run to court and they are challenging the matter in court. The minister, of course, has urged Eskom to withdraw its court application. In the meantime, another four trading licenses were applied for, and Eskom did not oppose these. And it just seems to be a lack of principle that Eskom is engaging with, and it leads one to believe that it's really its legal posture is opportunistic. And it seems to be following a strategy of cherry-picking those competitors that it fears the most. That's the impression that it gives.
Now, Chris, perhaps you and I are not looking at this from the correct perspective. Perhaps we need to be looking at it from the objections that Eskom has raised. Can we look at perhaps some of those objections that have been put forward as to why some of the licenses should not be granted, at least from the perspective of Eskom?
Yeah, look, from Eskom's perspective, it first of all claimed that NERSA's decisions to grant these licenses were done in a legal vacuum. Now, of course, this is not correct. The status of electricity traders has been in place for many, many years. As I mentioned, the first electricity trader, PowerX, was licensed in about 2011, and there have been several since then, over the last several years. So there is no legal vacuum, and in fact, the recent promulgation of the Electricity Regulation Amendment Act specifically caters for the introduction of traders, the introduction of an electricity market, the liberalization of the industry. This is government policy, and it has been so for years. You only have to look at the 1998 government white paper on energy policy to see exactly what it says about traders and the electricity market development. So that's the first claim, that it's somehow there's a legal vacuum and the framework does not allow this. That's not correct. The other thing that Eskom claims is that its licenses, its distribution licenses, are exclusive. Now, I've looked at Eskom Distribution's distribution license, and it is certainly not exclusive. And in fact, there's a separation between what is known as the wires business, that's the distribution networks, and the trading business, which is the selling and the buying and selling of energy, electricity, kilowatt hours. And certainly, there is no exclusivity in the trading of electricity, and Eskom's claim that this is somehow their exclusive domain just doesn't hold up. The last thing that they claim is that traders are freeloading on Eskom's network, And they are then cherry picking Eskom's best customers, and this is not fair to Eskom. And again, this is not true. First of all, traders are not freeloading on Eskom's network. They pay for the use of Eskom's network, through published tariffs developed by NERSA. And you know, when one talks about cherry picking of customers, that is fundamentally, I mean, a competitive environment. You compete for customers. You know, they're not Eskom's. Eskom seems to say they're cherry picking Eskom's customers. These are not Eskom's customers. They don't belong to Eskom. You ask the customer, do you belong to Eskom? Do you want to belong to Eskom? No. Customers want choice. And that's what competition is all about. And that's what the Electricity Regulation Amendment Act is all about. So in my view, you know, Eskom's justification for their view is just not correct. And I'm sure that, if they proceed with their legal case, they're going to have to answer these questions to a judge.
Chris, let's take a look at Eskom's edge in the market. I mean, yes, anyone that has a monopoly would rightly want to maintain the monopoly. Eskom perhaps might not have the best track record of trust with consumers. They have really done a lot to try and turn around the business with the energy availability factor recently showing some signs of improvement. But let's take a look at something like the purchasing power agreements, the special purchasing power agreements that Eskom has the liberty of rolling out into the market. Surely if you're looking to maintain a competitive advantage, that's a useful tool that you might have that your competitors might not. Are we making a bigger deal of this Eskom competitiveness than should be? Or has Eskom got reason, legitimate reason to be concerned here?
Look, they have legitimate reason to be concerned that their customers are going to defect from them because their service is not acceptable and their product is not desirable. That is the nature of competition. You have to have products that are competitively priced, that have the right quality of supply, and that your service levels are such that customers want to stay with you. In that respect, I think they have got something to fear. But let me just say this, that the incumbent, which they are in a monopoly situation, has a significant advantage over newcomers. For example, Eskom's fleet of generation is long since mainly amortized. And was purchased many years ago when prices for plant were much cheaper. A new entrant has got to build new generation plant at the current prices and doesn't have the benefit of a large legacy fleet that has been amortized already. This gives a legacy operator like Eskom huge advantage. The problem with Eskom is that they have not kept up with the times and invested in a new generation capacity, new technology at the new prices. and what we've seen is renewable energy prices come crashing down. And so Eskom seems to be trapped in its legacy through its own inaction. And so what should turn into an advantage by having a legacy amortized fleet is sometimes proving a disadvantage, also because the legacy fleet is generating dirty power with high carbon emissions that is not desirable by customers. Customers want clean energy. They are under pressure to reduce their carbon emissions and footprint, and they even were prepared to pay a premium for clean energy. The point of the matter is it's a competitive world we're moving into. If you want to keep customers, you've got to offer the right price, the right service, the right technology, and the right ingredients in your product. For example, the green ingredient, flexible power. That's what customers want in going forward.
Economics 101. It's a demand supply driven economy. If you've got a competitor coming into your space, defend your position, but defend it reasonably and with product. And perhaps that's what the Competition Commission might want to look into. We'll leave the conversation on that note. Thanks so much to Chris for those insights. Always lovely having you on the show. Chris Yelland, Managing Director at EE Business Intelligence, joining us to share his thoughts around Eskom and their challenges for competitors entering into their space.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.